Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you're a fan of the show, please help us out by subscribing on Spotify. And while you're there, give us a 5-star rating and share with your friends. Every download really does help, so thank you so much for keeping this podcast going.
Hi, I'm Bill, and I absolutely love old video games, but I didn't have anyone to play with, so I decided to start the Super Switch Club.
That's right.
A podcast dedicated to discussing and reliving the nostalgia of retro video games that are also on the Nintendo Online Virtual Library.
Good luck!
Hey everyone, it is Kazlo25. I'm a YouTuber and Twitch streamer.
Hey folks, this is Brett from Skeleton House.
Hey, it's Frost.
This is Eric Slater from Epic Fails of History, Too Young for This Trek, and Podcasters Assemble.
This is Ben from Dragoon Effect, an audio-only Let's Play podcast that cares about your mental health.
G'day, it's Elise.
I'm Troidal Power.
Hello, I am Douglas Gale, co-host of an Xbox Game Pass podcast called Game Pass.
Hello, Super Switch Club listeners. It's Mushroom Comics from Mushroom Comics' audio-only Let's Plays.
I'm here today to talk about WarioWare Inc.
And I just finished WarioWare Inc.
Wario Inc.?
Mega Micro Games?
I don't know.
WarioWare Incorporated?
I think that's the full title.
I don't even know what the official legitimate title of this game is.
WarioWare!
WarioWare
Incorporated.
It's a me, Wario.
Released in 2003 for the Game Boy Advance.
Debuting in 2003 on the Game Boy Advance, this was actually the first WarioWare game. And if you haven't played a WarioWare game before, it's basically like what if Mario Party, but someone spiked the punch with meth.
It's a Wario game for... is it Game Boy Advance? I also don't even know that. I think so. There were colors. That feels advanced.
And I really don't know how to talk about this game.
So in the card game Magic the Gathering, the R&D team have kind of categorized their players into, you know, different archetypes. There is the Timmy. Timmy likes big cards. He likes big monsters. He likes stuff that have, like, powerful effects. Timmy plays Magic to have fun.
If you didn't hear the handheld nostalgia episode, I did not own a Game Boy or Game Boy Advance, so I don't really know much about them.
Then you have Johnny. Johnny likes making decks. He likes the cards that have, like, a weird interaction. He likes kind of eyeballing the combinations you can do.
Which hurt me, strangely, in one of the micro games in this one.
And then you have Spike. Spike plays to win. Spike plays the best deck. Spike wants to win the tournament.
Where they would show you a bunch of, I presume, Game Boys Advances. And you, Games Boy? What's the plural?
And I think the video games have similar piles that you can lump people into. I think Spike exists across both spectrums.
Games Boy Advance?
But let's say there's a Larry.
And I had to, you had to pick the right one afterwards.
Now, Larry likes playing story games. Larry likes experiencing video games. Maybe Larry will play on easy, or he'll look up guides, or he'll use some save states. Because to Larry, like, the difficulty isn't the fun part of video games. The fun part is, like, experiencing them in their entirety, seeing all the cool cutscenes, seeing where the story goes, looking at all the characters.
And that was baffling, so I couldn't tell if they were real ones or not.
And then, let's say we have Wanda. Wanda likes using her noggin. Wanda enjoys going deep into mechanics and figuring out how things work. Maybe Wanda enjoys overcoming difficulties. She might even like losing if she lost in a cool way.
And I have already lost the thread of just trying to introduce myself.
And then finally, I don't know, we'll stick with three to keep the allegory similar. Thud. Thud likes pressing buttons. WarioWare is a game for Thud.
Oh boy.
It's basically just a totally random series of increasingly more frantic reaction-based minigames with almost no prep time.
It's really strange because it's a collection of just minigames. These games that take like 3 to 5 seconds per game and they just come at you in rapid succession.
Some of them are really fun, others are just insanely frustrating. Yeah, I was terrible at it.
No one can be told what WarioWare is. You have to experience it for yourself.
So let's get into this little backstory that I was able to piece together from stuff I read on the internet. So as children, Wario was rivals with Mario and Luigi.
For those that don't know, Wario first appeared as the antagonist in Super Mario Land 2 Six Golden Coins for the OG Game Boy.
Wario became jealous of their popularity and success. This builds up until Wario learns some freaky magic that lets him control people, clone himself, and grow really, really big. Apparently, Mario knocks those powers out of him at the end of Super Mario Land 2 and the Six Golden Coins because Wario doesn't have magic powers again after that.
Before starring in his own game as an anti-hero in Wario Land, aka Super Mario Land 3, which ended up spawning a whole series of its own.
So now Wario is forever cursed with terrible breath and farts that harm those around him. So after Mario beats Wario and knocks all the magical powers out of him, Mario takes this pretty hard and secludes himself in his castle for quite a while and becomes a farmer. During Wario's tenure as a farmer, he seems to also use this time of seclusion to hone his newfound garlic breath and garlic fart powers, and develops a way to use these to his advantage while fighting or, oddly enough, playing sports.
And his games typically feel like weird, almost off-brand spoofs of the Mario games.
Part of me wonders if these powers are what makes Wario decide to somehow use his magic flatulence to transform him into the superhero. Wario Man? Yes, Wario Man. And somehow these powers also make him invulnerable to fire and getting smushed.
There was even a Virtual Boy game and Wario World on the GameCube.
I don't think Wario exactly was the most popular person because of his powers, and I believe he had a hard time finding a real job. So Wario then bought a video game company and named it WarioWare, and decided that the money was in making annoying micro games instead of really good regular video games.
See, Wario was way ahead of his time with these, you know, shovelware games that are worthless, that can fill up your smartphones that your kids want to play all the time, but kids don't learn anything, they don't want to go outside, do anything, and play the dumbass Roblox.
And I think that brings us pretty much up to date with Wario's backstory. I don't think he does anything beyond WarioWare that isn't like Super Smash Brothers or Mario Kart or the Mario sports games.
Wario himself is, of course, a twisted mirror universe version of Mario.
So Wario was created to be like a nemesis to Mario, I guess, that wasn't Bowser? I don't know. Both Wario and Donkey Kong were inspired by Bluto from Popeye, but they kind of wanted to combine Strong Bully from Pinocchio and Bluto, and that's how we got Wario. We could talk about Waluigi, I guess, who I know next to nothing about, but I have my theories.
We're not going to even acknowledge Waluigi. He didn't exist at this point.
Wario has, ever since Mario beat him up and took away his magic powers, all Wario has been searching for is acceptance. I mean, he tried to become a superhero to get it, and that didn't even work.
Wario, who I guess is like, I don't want to say evil Mario, he's just like douchey Mario? Wow! I don't know. And this one, he's more of just sort of like an exploitive capitalist? Is that how you would describe him?
Ah.
He seems like kind of a ding-dong overall, you know what I mean?
Wow!
Wario doesn't have good opinions on politics, you know what I mean? Like, Wario is the kind of guy who thinks that it's okay to tell racially tinged jokes because he thinks he has a black friend, then that would be Jimmy T.
Okay.
Except that friendship is one way, Wario. Jimmy T probably does not like you. Boy, where? What was my point?
Get out of here!
I had never played this game before, but I know that it's a series with 4 or 5 games in it.
The first WarioWare game I played was, I think, for GameCube, maybe. But I had little to no experience with Wario or WarioWare itself.
And I'd heard that they were micro games, and I didn't really understand what that meant until I played it.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever played this game before. I've played a lot of WarioWare on the Wii, which was called WarioWare Smooth Moves, I believe, and a lot of WarioWare on the DS. That one's my favorite, which I think was just called WarioWare Touched, maybe. And then I've played a lot of WarioWare-inspired games. Of course, a lot of micro game collections and things. But I don't think I'd ever played the Game Boy Advance one before.
WarioWare is almost certainly the first Game Boy Advance game that I've played. As far as I know, it's the first Game Boy Advance game that I played. It's probably the 3rd or 4th Mario adjacent game I've played. That includes mainline Mario games. I don't have that much experience with the franchise in general.
I have not played a mini game like this. I am used to being told that it is dangerous to go alone, being handed a sword and a shield, and going on my merry way.
And it was fine, you know, this is a perfectly pleasant playthrough. It wasn't terribly exciting.
Well, this is a hell of an opening to a game.
Wario is watching television.
You get showed a telly commercial for a game, I'm not sure what game.
And finds out that game sales are way up.
But it made lots of money, and Wario wants in. So he goes to buy a computer to make a game.
So in his money-making scheme, he goes out on his sweet Harley, or whatever that is, to purchase a computer so that he can make his own games. And he starts WarioWare Inc.
But he seems to have a creative block, so he calls all his friends to help him. And they all make their own series of micro games, and Wario adds them to his micro game to make one big game of micro games.
As far as the story goes, the story of WarioWare Inc. Mega Micro Games,
Yeah, so what is this game? It starts off, you just see some middle-aged goblin man watching TV. He sees that video games are popular, so that gives him an idea to start a game company.
The story is that Wario is like, hey, I can make some money off of games. So he starts trying to program a game, and then he gets sucked into a computer.
And he can jump inside of like an old-school boombox thing,
I think. And then all of his friends, like, have to deal with problems, but they solve their problems by playing games?
I really don't know. And then he ropes all of his friends in, and I don't know if they're, like, trapped in his video game or if they're helping him write the game. To be clear, also, the game does not give a shit. The game isn't, like, trying to do anything more than just have, like, fun vibes. And man, does it knock it out of the park on the fun vibes train.
The WarioWare series, however, is a whole different animal.
This game is baffling. The framing of this game is very confusing.
While Wario himself is featured in the games, he's also joined by a whole cast of random characters, which reappear in each of the games. Each of the characters are basically used as a framing device for each level, and they basically have a certain style of minigame.
And it's all your favorites. You know, Jimmy T, Bona, 9Volt, Orbulon, Scrappy Doo, Bubba Sparks, Lil Dicky, Ringtone, Teddy Mantis, Tom Dolby, Doja Cat.
WarioWare Inc. is a micro games collection. It is a whole ton of little, not even minigames, mini games that take like 2 seconds to do. Most of them involve hitting a button at a specific time, or maybe a couple of times, or maybe like moving to the left or the right and then hitting a button. But you gotta hit that button f***ing quick, dude. The story mode in this game is a series of challenges with different characters, and each character has their different genre of microgame.
So Wario's having a bit of a tough time coming up with some game ideas, so he decides to invite his friends.
Like, we got Jimmy the Disco Guy, his genre is sports.
Also known as Jimmy Thang.
Hey, hey, it's Jimmy T. Big moves, bigger wigs, and only the biggest sports games. To boogie with me, you've gotta send me cell mail.
We got Dribble and Spitz, the cab drivers. Their genre is sci-fi.
Dribble and Spitz, the reckless cabby duo.
Which are a cartoon bulldog and his cat sidekick.
I'm Dribble. This is my pal Spitz. Together we make one crash bang crabby team.
Mona, who looks like a fancy redhead race car driver.
Hey, you're a new face around here. Well, I'm Mona. I scoop gelato at the gelateria. When I'm not at school or making games, that is.
Orbulon, which kind of looks like Roger from American Dad with sunglasses.
Greetings. Hello, I am the outer space life form known as Orbulon. It might be hard to believe, but my carbon matter will turn 2,000 years old this year. My fun units test the limits of your brain matter.
Cat and Anna, who are classic anime twins.
The two kicking kindergartners, apparently. We're Cat and Anna. Yep, we're cute. We're kindergartners, and we're ninjas. We like plants and animals so much that we included them in our games.
And then Dr. Krygor, who looks like a mad scientist who may be half machine?
I am Dr. Krygor, the genius scholar. Others have had said a dangerous scholar, but I pay no mind to their opinions.
And then we have the one where all the dorks will be like, oh yeah, this guy's my favorite.
And then my favorite character, 9-Volt. The old school grade schooler.
We have 9-Volt. He is a kid with a hoverboard. His genre is Nintendo.
Hey, my name is 9-Volt. I'm the grade schooler gone old school. I've put together a collection of retro classics that'll make you late for class.
I feel like this is making fun of me as a kid.
Okay, and we are treated to Wario working out, jumping on a trampoline inside. Jumping so high, he flies out the smokestack in the top of his house.
I f***ing launched into the stratosphere. I flew like twice the height I needed. On my way over, I high-fived God. It was sick as hell, dude.
I don't particularly care for music in general or in video games, but I had a hard time starting this game because I just wanted to keep listening to the tunes at the beginning. It just was really fun. It just had nothing but fun energy. And as much as I'm sort of like lightly making fun of how much it didn't make sense, it was in a fun way. They were just goofing. They were just being silly billies making this video game.
So we start off and Wario is in his big tower and he's trying to develop a video game. And he's like, hey, can you beat my games? And we go, yeah, let's give it a shot.
And what a really interesting idea for a game. I'm talking as if I'm as if not like literally everyone in the world is probably played this. I'm among the last handful of people on Earth who have not played WarioWare. But it's the concept of it is there's a series of micro games that you play. And when I say micro game, I mean micro.
The idea of this game is that you pick a level and then you're thrown into a game that lasts like 2 to 3 seconds and you have an objective and you either pass or fail. And then you move to another game, another game, another game. And you got to score well enough to succeed so you can get to the next level.
It is literally like seconds of a snippet that you would maybe see in a longer video game, the mechanic of it.
It's like a series of reaction games where you basically, most of them involve tapping the A button at the right time, although there is some, you know, dodging and getting out of the way.
The only controls you have are moving and pushing a button.
Oddly enough, even though this is a GBA game, you really only ever use the A button and the D-pad. It's really just all about timing.
And that's it. And then they've developed, I think I saw it was like hundreds of micro games around that.
There's so many random ass micro games in this one that would take forever to talk about them all, much less even try to explain them.
And there's too many of these micro games to be able to talk about. So I'm going to kind of focus on the theming of each of these stages, along with interesting games that stuck out to me and the bosses for those stages as well.
Again, you really just got to play it yourself. It's a lot of fun and just a super short game with a ton of replay value. The game's pretty straightforward and there really isn't much of an overall story, but the basic premise is pretty meta. Wario, whose only motivation in life is greed, is basically trying to make a cheap video game to make millions off of. He's just chasing fads, which is why each game in the series has its own weird gimmick.
Okay, so what I'll say about these minigames is the first time you play them, they are very difficult.
And they're all very quick, very short, very frantic. You don't usually at all get explained anything beyond, like, a verb at the beginning.
This one just tells you a key word.
It'll say, hide,
grab, shoot,
search, run,
jump, catch, dodge,
dodge,
jump,
and you just have to try and do that thing in whatever context the scenario gives you.
Kill! No, it doesn't. It doesn't get dark. It's Nintendo. It's all very light. The closest, I think, to Western eyes it gets is that there's a flower that you spray with a bidet stick at one point in time, and that flower is 100% a butthole that you are spraying with water. That's about as edgy as Nintendo gets here.
I would say most of these games are sort of, you know, rhythm games, or, you know, they're very quick hitters, you know, push left and type A, or swat the fly, or different things like that. So,
and I gotta say, I really, really liked that frantic pace.
And they're not hard games. It's just really quick, twitchy stuff that you've got to do with little time to be able to figure out what the controls are.
And kind of the fun for me is, like, you know, they start off slow. It seems they all seem to have like 3 seconds, where that's basically like 1 or 2 seconds for you to figure out what you are supposed to do, and then 1 second to do it. And sometimes you just can't.
Hell, usually by the time you figure out the controls, the game's already over and you've lost.
Like, you have to watch it not work several times before you grasp what it is you're supposed to do, whether it's to push the button or to move things around. But then that's it. Like, you have to wait until you fail and come back around to get that game again.
So I did not do well at this at all. The first round, I just had no f***ing idea what was going on at all. And I lost a lot of lives and was just generally a bit confused.
This game does not flap around either. When you start the game, you hit the ground running. You were just go, go, go. There is nothing prepping you at all. You are just thrown right into the mix, and then seconds later told that you have failed. And as you recover from that, you're already into another game that you're about to fail because you're not paying attention, dumbass.
So the game is broken up into 11 stages, with each stage being themed around a certain character.
That's basically it. You're just going through these different theme stages, and then every once in a while there's a remix, which is that you'll now encounter a mishmash of micro games from some of the other previous siloed people that you've seen. And the people, that's where the theme of this is loosely in place. They're supposed to be friends of Wario, and they're the ones that I guess are presenting the games to you, or trapped within them. Again, not fully clear what's happening there. But they give you a theme around the collection that you're seeing. And it's a pretty loose theme. It tends to be, you know, they stick to it a little bit, but some of them are clearly not on theme.
And of course, since it's WarioWare, you start off facing off against Wario in an introduction stage. And there's a real long cutscene, which, for a game about micro games, the intros of these stages feel super long and drawn out, and they're completely unskippable, as well as the wrap-up cutscene after the boss fights of each stage.
So Wario has all the... His genre is intro. He is like, hey, grab this falling pole. Hey, jump over this potato on wheels. Hey, drive down this road and don't get hit by any cars.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure I just played a game and it wasn't a fever dream.
So we have to defeat 10 of those and then we get to the boss level. Wario's boss stage is there's a pendulum that hangs down from the ceiling and you have to punch it. And then it swings back at you and you have to punch it.
The boss of that one has you basically punching a punching bag.
And then it swings back at you and you have to punch it.
In time.
And then it swings back at you and you have to punch it.
Like 3 times. It's not hard at all.
And then I think you do that again one more time.
Yeah, not much to say about these games so far, but I'll keep going.
Hey there, siblings. I'm Stephen White.
And I'm Lacia Finley.
The host of Super Mega Crash Brothers Turbo.
Ugh, it's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it?
It gets easier the more you say it.
Each week, we discuss all the big headlines in gaming.
We also do game reviews, developer interviews, and retrospectives on the industry.
All of this while going on multiple tangents about whatever strikes us in the moment.
Hey, listen, did you happen to watch that TV show I recommended to you?
Stephen, focus.
Oh, right. Follow Super Mega Crash Brothers Turbo on Twitter and Instagram.
And find Super Mega Crash Brothers Turbo wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Game Pass is the only Game Pass podcast being recorded from the bowels of a secret bunker under Microsoft's campus by two hosts who are being forced to play every game on the Game Pass service in alphabetical order. Join Doug and Ryan as they play games, boy doing any actual work, and navigate the high-stakes minefield that is corporate America. Game Pass. It's a Game Pass podcast.
If you're a fan of this podcast and want to keep this show going,
help support us on Patreon,
where you can unlock tons of great content like
early access to ad-free episodes,
behind-the-scenes clips,
extended cuts,
blooper reels,
bonus episodes,
and a chance to pick the game we play next.
Join our 1-Up Mushroom League,
our exclusive DK Island Club,
or the Hylian Royal Family with the power of the Triforce.
Just head on over to patreon.com/thesuperswitchclub.
Link is in the show notes.
Now, each of these stages have, basically, you have 4 lives, so you can fail 4 times on the games before you have to restart. But if you got tired of restarting like I did, you can just cheat with the rewind feature on the Nintendo Switch Online.
I cheated a little bit. I did use save states a little tiny bit, just a little bit.
But you know what? I finally get to use rewind,
which lets you quickly go back and restart one of the micro games, especially if you didn't get the hang of the controls too quickly.
F***ing awesome. I can see why everyone loves this feature now.
These games are really about getting high scores and pushing yourself, and obviously I didn't do that for this. I just basically played through everything.
Yeah, played a bunch of games. They were annoying. 43 points. Is that good? Is that good? Did anyone else get 43 points?
Then we move on to Jimmy the Disco Man. He punches through wood. He plays baseball. He does a trampoline.
We're moving on to Jimmy's game at Club Sugar.
And he's just at the disco. I don't know what Jimmy's up to.
Jimmy T's like this disco stew type guy who keeps checking his flip phone on the dance floor or something.
I didn't like Jimmy. Jimmy kind of serves as like the mid-boss in this game. You actually have Jimmy levels 3 times. He has different hair color each time. So maybe there are 3 different Jimmys. I don't know. But his levels, his music is the music that stressed me out the most.
Then you move on to the repeating character throughout the game, Jimmy T, who's like a disco dancer. His score UI is a cell phone. Despite being like a disco dancer and having a cell phone, all his games are themed around sports. But he does have probably one of my favorite bosses in the entire game, which is just a game of Punch-Out. You have to do his stage like 3 times throughout the game, each time with a different Punch-Out boss. It was my favorite.
So I fell off a trampoline and a mini boss punched me, but a dog rang Jimmy's mobile and the dog said I could continue on with the game. So that was kind. What the f**k is going on?
After defeating Jimmy, we can choose 3 people now. We have Dribble and Spitz, the cab drivers. They have like asteroid shooting. There's like a big kaiju fight where Mario is fighting a Godzilla Bowser, which is pretty cool.
And the theme for their games were sci-fi games. Actually, I remember really enjoying their games, but I can't for the life of me remember many of them. I think there was one where like you were in a kaiju battle with Mario versus Bowser, and all you had to do is jump over like rocks that are rolling across the screen. Yeah,
some games are already being repeated, like the Toast Catch and the Eye Drops. But there's a couple of new ones. I like the Space Invaders.
The boss stage though was really interesting because it was just a classic shoot 'em up, just a sci-fi themed shoot 'em up where you're just shooting all kinds of, I'm just going to call them alien ships coming down at the screen, and you can collect power-ups after killing certain aliens. But that was a lot of fun.
Dribble is a dog who drives a taxi.
It's like a dog and, what was the other character? Oh yeah, it was a dog and cat that were taxi drivers.
So Dribble and Spitz, they are taking fares. They're driving you to your destination.
So this is absolutely crazy taxi now. Does anyone else remember that game? That was really fun.
And when you get to your destination, it turns out to be the end of the pier, presumably in like New York City. And then you transform into a mermaid and dive into the ocean.
So yeah, there were some weird stories in this one. There's this one where you're driving a taxi in a rainstorm to get a mermaid to the ocean? A merman? A merboy?
There are a lot of cutscenes in this one though. But to cut a long cutscene short, we take a mermaid back to the ocean and she skips out on the fair. Rude. I like the life meter in this one. What do you get, 4? Do you get 4 lives? Is it 4? Anyone?
You have to get X number of micro games successfully completed without losing all of your lives. You start off with 4 lives. I think there's ways to get more. I'm pretty sure there is. As you go, not more than 4, but, you know, replenish yourself.
Anyway, the life meter in this one is little dog, like, hanging off the windshield, like little doggy air fresheners. Super cute. Mona said that I can go and play her games, but they're strange, but perfect for a girl like me. She has a very, very long cutscene. She rides a scooter and works at the gelateria.
There's another level where Mona is running late to work on her scooter, and a cop tries to pull her over for speeding, and she keeps deploying all these gadgets to lose them.
Mona's about to be late for her shift at the gelato shop. Oh god, we gotta drive down the highway on her Vespa, and we gotta make it there on time, but we're going too fast, and the cops hate us, so every time we win a micro game, we throw a banana peel at the cops, and we f***ing murder them.
She does stop to let some kids cross the road, but the cops are after her for, I don't know, speeding, I guess? I don't know, I missed that. It all happens too quickly, and I don't care enough.
And so her UI is you taking out a different police car after each game.
Mona is incomprehensibly based.
And eventually, it's kind of like in GTA, where you've got 5 stars and the entire police force is after you.
But now there is an elephant and a bear, and they fire weapons at the cops when I win a game, and then a monkey throws banana skins when I win a game.
And the story there is that you are her pet monkey who's throwing banana peels at the police cars to slow them down or something?
And it just... What? Why are we killing the cops?
And the theme on hers is strange games.
You have Mona. Her genre is strange. You have to drop eye drops onto a person. You gotta pick your nose. You gotta grab toast that is flying out of a toaster.
I also caught a piece of toast. I sniffed up some boogers. I threaded a needle.
And I don't know. They didn't feel super strange. There were a few, like, you have to, like, pick a nose or you have to suck up a booger. But other than that, they weren't too strange.
And I put out someone who was on fire.
The boss of that stage just had you hammering a nail in, which wasn't okay.
And I hammered my hand several times before I actually hit the nail. Rewind, rocks. Mona did make it to work on time without any cops surviving her onslaught.
Oh yeah, and at the end of Mona's thing, she just misread her shift time. She doesn't actually, she closes today. She doesn't open. She wasn't late at all.
Man, this game's bonkers.
And then this is where we get 9-volt, the genre of Nintendo. Everyone's going to love this guy. You got to play a couple seconds of Balloon Fighter, F-Zero, or Duck Hunt.
Yeah, I guess it's some crazy kid that's just Nintendo crazy, has all these different Nintendo systems. And all his games are themed around Nintendo classics. So you've got stuff like Duck Hunt, where you've just got to shoot the duck on time. The Legend of Zelda, where you've got to quickly run into the cave. There's some Mario-themed ones where you just got to step on Goombas quickly or grab a power-up quickly.
9-volt did have some fun games that I would like to have played for longer than 5 seconds.
My favorite ones tend to be 9-volt's minigames because they're all remixed assets of other Nintendo properties.
There was some Duck Hunt, some Mario Kart. I got eaten by a fish at one point. I had to get Link out of a dungeon. I played basketball and I used some hover skates to get to the end. The games are still repeating themselves a bit, but 9-volt's games are a little bit more nostalgic, even for me, who is very, very sheltered in games.
There was a surprising amount of Punch-Out in this game. I did not expect that.
Although, why hasn't there been a Tetris-type challenge yet? Seriously.
The boss of this one was a little bit of a letdown. It was just a, like, batter-up baseball simulator where you just had to hit the ball so many times.
And I think 9-volt's thing is, like, he's just riding his hoverboard around? I can't remember.
I can't remember what his story was. I was getting pretty bored with the cutscenes by now, so I was wandering to Hollow Knight and if I could finish it before Tears of the Kingdom came out. Spoiler alert, I did not.
Serendipitously, there's even a microgame of 9-volt based on the Nintendo Ultra Hand, which was a toy that was made in 1966 by Gunpei Yokoi, who is the Game Boy guy. It's like an extendo arm. You squeeze it and it like shoots out and grabs something. But it's also the Ultra Hand. Hey, that's the name of the thing in the new Zelda. That's pretty cool.
And the thing I loved about his stage is it's basically just a Dragon Quest map, and each game adds one more EXP to your character.
His, like, meta justification for his games is pretty cool, though. You're playing a Game Boy, and you're playing an RPG where the character is 9-volt, and every micro game is, like, a battle that levels you up.
Oh, cool. We're back to Jimmy Disco. Why do I have to watch these stupid f***ing cutscenes of him answering the phone every time?
Then we go back to Jimmy dancing in the club. He's just dancing.
Can you please just let me skip this bullshit? I don't have the patience for this.
His games this time are, they use the games that we have played previously, but they do a little twist on them.
How the fuck do you punch the boxer? He flashes angry, so I punch him, and then he goes back to normal. This went on for several minutes, till I gave up and looked it up online.
Then you face off against Jimmy again before three more characters unlock.
Oh, I have to dodge the other way and then punch. Yeah, you're right. I don't know how to game. This is fine.
It's very interesting because the different silos of microgames have very different aesthetics. Some of them are straight up, like, one of the themes is Nintendo. It's just like little snippets of things from Nintendo games. And then one of them is like, it's sort of like a 16-bit attempt at photographs. So, you know, there's like, it's like a picture of a dog rendered down to 16 bits, and then his little paws move, and you're supposed to stop them in front of hands to make the dog shake. And that's just, come on, man, that's just delightful. That's really good.
Some kind of sheep just called Jimmy. Seriously, I don't need to be a part of these conversations. But I suppose this is an alright little story to follow for a short handheld game. It did make it a little bit more interesting when I wasn't daydreaming about my adorable knight. Oh look, now it's a spaceman.
Which, let's turn to Orbulon, who was like an alien that got hit by a meteor or something outside of Earth's orbit.
Alien. but not the alien, just some Martians. Also not the Martian. It's a space pig, all right?
His spaceship gets stuck, and he has to have little aliens drop an elevator on him, and then he has to escape.
And the space pig just got some bubblegum thrown on it? I don't know.
And then my favorite was the alien guy, Neduardo? Was that his name? Nedroid? I don't know. I have no idea. The alien guy was great because his games were like a little more thinky. They almost felt like Brain Age-y, where it'd be like, it would show you something of like flash of a shape, and then you'd have to pick the matching shape. Or pattern recognition, like it wasn't just press the button at the right time. It was actually like thinking through the correct answer just a little bit, but still really fast paced. And I thought that was pretty fun.
His genre, of course, is IQ.
Which were kind of interesting because some of them didn't seem to have a timer. They were just like asking you questions and you had to answer them correctly.
He has like spot the difference. He has, hey, count how many frogs are jumping. He has that pipe game where you put something at the top of a pipe and there's like four pipes and they're all connected. Then you got to figure out like where it's going to land.
But the boss on this one was really interesting because it was a classic dungeon crawler first person RPG where, if I remember right, you just had to choose the correct spelled words. I'm 99% sure that was how that boss went.
I do like the puzzle games though that were part of this one. They were a bit more fun and way more engaging, but it was so fast that it was hard to work out what I was actually meant to do. So I just took the deaths. I CBF even rewinding at this point.
Then we move on to Dr. Krygor.
Oh look, Robotnik is up now.
Which kind of feels like if you got Dr. Robotnik from Wish.
I mean Dr. Cryognal.
And then we have Dr. Krygor, the mad scientist. He has like a metal plate on his head and a visor with like one red eye that swings across it.
Isn't Cryognal a Pokemon?
Oh, and a cyborg mad scientist who's stuck in the bathroom and trying not to run out of toilet paper.
But his entire theme has him running to the bathroom because I presume he has diarrhea and we're just constantly flushing the toilet after each game.
Dr. Krygor probably has like the most relatable meta aspect of his story. He's got the tummy rumblies and he really has to go to the bathroom. His genre is reality.
And his games are themed on reality. So usually it's some realistic looking pictures or things.
Games such as mash the button to eat a banana. Games such as press the button when the cat's eyes are closed. Games such as use this man to bounce a basketball in the air, but the man's he's lying on a flat plane.
The best game in the entire game, which is where you get to shake hands with the dog. I am not taking any debate on that. That is the best game in all the micro games.
Cragnall, or whatever his name is, he's made up some cocktails, but they're not good, it seems, and he has to run to the toilet. Luckily, it looks like he has a bidet.
Yeah, and so after you beat the boss of that stage, like the toilet blows up and the entire like lab that he's working in just starts flooding. It's just really awkward.
Oh God, he's swimming in the toilet water. Cool, we have toilet jokes now. Lovely. Who's the next game designer? Cat, right. What have you got for us, Cat?
Then we have Cat and Anna. Cat and Anna are ninjas?
Who are like some like ninja sisters trying to kill this like ghost or demon that's harassing some like businessman, for the lack of a better term.
They have to defeat the sickest fucking skeleton monster cool guy samurai thing of all time.
She's in a Japanese castle. That looks pretty cool. But oh dear, Skeletor is throwing blue fire about the place. There's a ninja fight. A princess is kidnapped. A letter gets sent by pigeon. I'm not sure if it's an African or a European pigeon. To a ninja girl who crosses valleys and deserts with her corgi. She makes it to the palace and kills Skeletor.
Their genre is nature. So we gotta make a gecko eat some flies. We gotta make a snail jump across some platforms. We gotta take a picture of a flying squirrel.
Now, all of these were nature-based games, so stuff including like plants or animals. Really, I was really disappointed in this stage.
We play the mini games that are all repeated. The ninja girl and her corgi save the princess, and Cat is free to leave.
I think one of my favorite worlds was, I can't remember if it was Cat or Anna, but it was the ninja one where she was like going through, like climbing up a tower to save me, actually, because you have to put your name in this game. And so it was like, Prince Troy needs to be saved. And it was just playing like the chillest music in the world. I didn't necessarily like her games the best, but the very chill music I liked a lot.
But what did Cat do other than get captured? Maybe I missed something.
And then we get the final Jimmy remix stage. It's Jimmy again. He's dancing the club. I don't know what the f*** is up with this guy. He's just going.
Jimmy is f***ing dancing again. F*** off, Jimmy. I hate you and your stupid afro. I do like your flip phone, though. Remember when there were flip phones and you couldn't take random pictures of the inside of your pocket or pocket call people? That was a fun time.
Then we fight Jimmy T one more time, which, great, more punch out.
Oh, look, I have to do boxing again. Woohoo!
Yahoo!
Okay, what the hell am I supposed to do with this f***ing card game? Anyone? Anyone at all? Why can't you let me skip these stupid f***ing cutscenes?
And then it's time for the man himself, Wario.
I'm number one.
And then Wario's final genre is anything goes. One of the games you eat a hot dog.
Okay, we made it to Wario. He just yeeted the computer out the window. Because of course he did. Oh, look, and I got a golden turd. Nice, nice.
Which Wario's games are just kind of a grab bag of everything through the game along with some others. But some of them got really tight windows compared to when you encountered them earlier in the game. I'm trying to remember if there are any real unique games for him. Oh yeah, you actually get to play a game of Wario Pinball in one of these games. That was actually a pretty enjoyable time.
Excellent!
And then some of these games were just, for instance, some of the games from the Nintendo Classic section, but like given a Wario skin.
I ran away from the Indiana Jones boulder. Sweet.
And then after you get to that, his boss stage is Wario's Adventure, where you're kind of just running through a stage until you have to fight some sort of like red square where you have to throw a boomerang at it. I don't know. It was kind of a letdown. It was pretty long, but it was a letdown of a final stage for the game.
Now the big question. Will Wario's game actually sell?
And then he makes a game and he gets a bunch of money.
It appears that it did. And shockingly, Wario has run away with all of the money.
But he doesn't share it with any of his friends, even though they helped to make the game. And he tries to play in a rocket ship. He flies away in a rocket ship, but then one of his friends crashes into him and he crashes into the water.
But it's okay. Robotnik chases him in his spaceship or whatever and blows Wario and the money out of the sky.
And then he's like paddling back to shore and he's like, I'm still a cat. I hit everybody.
So no one got any of the money for their hard work in designing their 5-second games. Ah, well, I guess that's a classic example of you only get out what you put in. And roll credits.
And then at the end, they all meet up at a coffee house or something.
So I don't know what the story was. But it sure was fun to play it.
And then we beat Wario's final game, and he's like, hey, great job, I think. I can't really remember.
Well, that was something, all right.
After I beat the story mode, I went into the bonus modes, which I found more fun. Not that I didn't find the game fun, I found the game really fun, but I found the bonus modes really, really fun.
There's a grid mode you can go to, so you can practice any game that you've seen. So if you do want to get better at it, because I'm on the Switch, what I often do would just rewind at the moment I failed the game and played a few times. Just for some of them, I wasn't even clear as to what you were supposed to do until I ran it a few times and then realized, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. And there's still one game in there that I do not have any idea what you're supposed to do. There's like, it sort of looks like a sort of it's a very phallic looking thing with testicle eyes.
Oh, sorry. I'm watching the footy and Big Coxie just took a lovely mark and kicked a great goal from 50 meters out. He's from Texas. We love him.
And I don't know what it says, choose or match or something. And it's just four of these weird green bean eye things. And I don't know. You're supposed to pick one. And if you pick the wrong one, you lose. And I have no idea what the criteria is there. So yeah, some of the games are inscrutable, or at least the one is.
If I did have a game like this when I was younger, I think my life would have turned out very differently. While it's not really my game now, I would have absolutely been hooked on this when I was a kid. Tiny quick games and the chance to get a perfect score and several harder modes that I absolutely did not bother with in this. But that absolutely would have grabbed me when I was a kid. So thanks, Mum and Dad, for not indulging my desires, because I don't reckon it would have been good for me.
I don't think it's a hard game. I don't know how many hours it took me to finish it, but you just kind of go through it and it's repetition. As you go through the game, you can unlock more mini games, true mini games, where there's not much to them, but they run longer than 3 seconds.
Okay, so apparently I scored enough points to unlock Dr. Wario. So it's a crude Dr. Mario port with very weird music where Wario is the doctor, and I was able to clear virus level 5 speed medium. So I didn't talk about this in the Tetris episode, but I played a lot of Dr. Mario back in the day too, so that was pretty fun. I prefer the actual Dr. Mario, though. Is that on Switch Online? We should play that.
Some of them are two-player, so I wasn't able to do anything with those. There's a game called Dong Dong, which... What's up with that? Nintendo, what's up with that?
Okay, I need to stop playing Dr. Mario. I just cleared level 10. It's been... is this why this game is popular? Like, I've been playing this thing for... I haven't died, I just keep playing. But I'm playing Dr. Mario, not WarioWare, technically, so I should probably move on at this point.
Thrilling is a game mode where everything is set to maximum speed, so you have the absolute minimum time possible to like figure out what is happening on screen, figure out what you have to do, and figure out how you have to do it. It's really fucking hard. You have to get a high score of 15 to unlock my favorite mode, hard mode. That took me a while, dude. And you also only have one life, so if you mess up at all, you're dead. The absolute hardest game in Thrilling Mode is the Pipe Maze one, where you have to like pour the ramen down the pipe and figure out where it's going to land. I don't think I ever got it correctly. Every time I played, I'd just be like, oh, don't let the pipe game come up. Don't let the pipe game come up.
There's one stage called Total Boss, where you only do the boss levels from each of the stages, which was kind of fun. The one where you start skateboarding and then transition to a bunch of other games was very difficult. It took me a couple of different tries to get that one done.
I ended up getting a high score of 23 on Thrilling Mode, which I'm pretty proud of.
The games were all right. It took like an hour to beat the whole campaign, and then I tried to do what I thought was a bonus level. But it turned out it was essentially an endless mode that once you got so many rooms cleared, you got unlockables.
And then if you do get 15 on Thrilling, you unlock hard mode, which is just like Thrilling, except for you have 3 lives. So it's a little bit less stressful. I only got a high score of 25 on hard. I wanted somebody to battle me so I could be motivated, but I don't know if anyone else unlocked hard mode.
But it didn't stop you once you'd reached the maximum unlockable. And so I got to like floor like 200 or so and was just kept going. And I'm like, okay, I don't understand the point of this. And so I stopped and Googled it. And that's when I found out and I thought, okay, I'm done with this game.
There have been a lot of WarioWare games since this one. There was a second WarioWare game on Game Boy Advance called Twisted that has a gyro sensor built in. The DS game was called Touched, and of course really leaned into the whole touchscreen features. Then we got WarioWare Smooth Moves for the Wii, which honestly might be my favorite Wii game of all time. I just have so many fond memories of introducing that random ass party game to friends in college. It was a really great time. It definitely took like full advantage of the motion controls of the Wii remote. We also have WarioWare DIY, where Wario hires you to make games for him. There was apparently one called Snapped on the DSi that heavily used the camera feature, apparently. Game & Wario on the Wii U, which sounds pretty fun. WarioWare Gold on 3DS, which was actually like a collection of all like the best microgames from the series up to that point.
And the latest game that came out in 2021 was WarioWare Get It Together for the Nintendo Switch, which I really want to check out now.
I don't know what else to say.
Look, I didn't hate it, but I think I'm just too old to really enjoy it as much as I could have if I were a teenager. Having said that, the alien puzzle games were really fun because they were a bit more engaging, and the music was fun. I'm all about music in games. Good music makes a game.
I don't know what I expected about this game at all, but it wasn't this. I think I had heard that it was mini games. I think that's maybe something that is used to describe this. So I thought it might have been more. I had never heard it called micro games, and it looks like that is the way it's described on Wikipedia anyways. And so that really took me by surprise. It is just a crazy boiled down essence of accomplishing a thing in a video game.
It's kind of like ADD the game.
It's interesting. I'm sure it's really beneficial for people with ADHD. It probably fits right into a gaming style that would help them. I've heard that from people. And I'm glad that this series exists, but it's not necessarily for me.
Like, picture Pac-Man where you have 3 seconds to pick up 4 coins and you just have to kind of move up and over to do it. But you might not do it because your brain freezes for a second when it pops up on screen. You're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Oh, grab the coins. Oh, move. Oh, time's up. It's not that it's hard to do. It's just sometimes it's difficult to process all of that very quickly and then do it in a short amount of time. And that's fun. That's really fun.
A thing happens on screen and your lizard brain says, hey, press the button. And you press the button and it goes like, wow, great job. You did it. And you're like, yes, I did. I did do it. The music's jamming. It feels hectic when it's supposed to feel hectic. All the characters are goofy as hell. Dude, I fucking love Mona. Mona's the greatest. Mona's one of the best video game characters ever. And one of the stories is a guy just really has to take a shit. It's so good. Yeah, very, very fun game. Very quick game. Very quick games inside of the game. If you have like 5 minutes of free time, you can play like fucking 50 micro games. It's so good. It's so good.
This was pretty fun. Not particularly challenging or exciting, but I only played the standard levels and I did a lot of rewinding to understand what I was actually meant to do because I'm old and I played mostly adventure games with all the time in the world.
I am used to kind of like a long bit of opening scene and then maybe a light tutorial, but this game was just like, boom, fuck you, you're playing a game now.
I can absolutely see why Mum and Dad never bought me a Game Boy. While this doesn't hook me now, it 100% would have hooked me then when I was a kid, and I reckon I would have been a very different child. But also, I wouldn't be playing them without the Super Switch Club, so this is really fun. Thanks, everyone.
All right, I did just about everything I wanted to do in this. I don't know, man.
Yeah, ultimately, I wasn't the biggest fan of this game.
I don't know if this is the game for me. It certainly did waste a lot of time, but I would say most of that time was spent playing the Dr. Mario clone. So why didn't I just play Dr. Mario?
I don't think it's the game for me. I could see a time when I was younger and some of these games were super silly and I had some time to kill and I could sit there and play these 3 to 5 second really twitchy games. But for me today, no, I'm just going to abuse that Switch Rewind feature and get on with my life. And the fact that the cutscenes didn't have very much text, were super long and couldn't be skipped. Yeah, I'm just glad to be done with this.
I'm sure someone, you know what? I bet Skelly loved it. Skelly seems like that kind of person. No offense.
Yeah, WarioWare is awesome.
So yeah, I had a ton of fun revisiting this one. WarioWare is a top tier for me. This is seriously one of the weirdest, funniest, and most random game franchises ever made. And again, I seriously can't overstress just how much fun WarioWare on the Wii was. But this is where it all started.
So yeah, that's it for WarioWare Incorporated. I thought about doing my entire submission in Wario's voice, but I don't think you want to hear that.
I don't really have much else to say.
I think that's it. I think I've rambled around repeating the same thing over and over, as per the usual with my submissions here. I'll say I had a lot of, I mean, it's hard to pick a favorite. So much of it was good, but a standout for me was maybe Mona, who is just like flipping over cop cars on her way to work. I think because she's a little bit late. And yeah, that's some top-notch content for me.
And looking back over the previous games we've played for this podcast, my current ranking is, starting at the bottom, Zelda 2, Sin and Punishment, Echo the Dolphin, Tetris, Banjo-Kazooie, Star Fox for the Super Nintendo, WarioWare, and at the very top, Super Mario Odyssey.
So I would like to give a big thanks to the listeners and say goodbye and have fun.
Thank you to everyone who joined in on this short Game Boy nostalgia trip. I especially want to give a huge shout out for all our patrons over on patreon.com/thesuperswitchclub who helped to keep this ship sailing. And I can't wait to reveal what we've got in store next season for the Super Switch Club. Till then, this is Eric, signing out.
Okay, that's all I got. See you guys next time. What are we doing next time?
So what's next? More Nintendo 64? GoldenEye's on there. Maybe we can just do a whole year of Tears of the Kingdom. No? Ah, well. I'll be back for whatever new and exciting games the Super Switch Club has in mind, because pretty much everything is new to me now. Hashtag sheltered.
Anyway, that was WarioWare. That's the end of our quick handheld season. Coming up, we have some Fast and Furious one-off games coming. So stay tuned for the next episode of the Super Switch Club. Thanks.
But yeah, be sure to tune in next time when I'm not sure what we're doing next. But yeah, guys, until next time, this was Kazlo25. Take care.
Thanks heaps for listening. I've been Elise, and I'll catch you next time with more Nintendo shenanigans.
Here we go!
Hell, usually by the time you turn out...
I'm here to tell you... blah, 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 blah. I'm here to tell you... I'm here today to talk about WarioWare... Boy, I am just a mush mouth.
To a ninja girl who crosses valleys and deserts... Sorry, deserts...
And if you haven't played a WarioWare... The two kicking kindergarteners, apparently. We here at WarioWare... Grid also has some game explanations. Well, okay, that's not necessary. For all the patrons... No. All our patrons...
And that's my dog, going crazy in the background.
You have to grab Toaster that is flying out.
Have a rotten day!
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.